My husband told her to come and talk to you two, but you two are real sensible.
You've been able to talk too much lately.
Well, there's always been something, you know.
I know.
I have a condition, things been right, or things not being well, or somebody else has pushed the way in, you know. It's always very complicated. People don't realise that, of course. They just take it for granted on people. What they do, they sort of think, you know, just sit down and there it is, you know. Yeah. How are you, George Ford?
Oh, I'm very well.
That's good.
Yes.
In for another inning?
Oh,
yes.
In for another inning.
Yes, Ricky Hunt.
Yes.
Look, I got lots to
you, yes.
Well, if you take care of yourself and you're sensible, you've got a few years to go, yeah. But, my God, you could have hit the apple cart.
Well, I don't want to do that. I
want to do... No, you've just got to be sensible. Mm. Keep on loving the thing, but it's important.
Yes.
Have you been moving too much
lately? No, I've been occasionally cancelled over captions or anything.
Yes, I think you have. I'm more lessons
for
that.
Yes, but I've worked a lot, you know.
Well, you've got a good nurse, mate.
Oh, I know I have. I appreciate it.
I think you're lucky there.
I'm very lucky.
Good housekeeper, good cook, good nurse. All for nothing. I don't know. If you ever in Corona, you'd be in a nice little state, I'll tell you.
It's wonderful
for
you.
It's not
for
nothing.
Oh yeah, no, but I mean, if we had to sort of employ a nurse and have him employ a housekeeper and a cook, cool stuff. You find a difference, mate, I'll tell you.
Oh,
I'll just check over you about £20 out every week.
Oh, I took it.
Well, you deserve it.
Oh, yes.
Well, she deserves it, she doesn't know what matter. Big responsibility right there.
Oh, yeah. Anyway,
you're a funny couple, don't you, darling?
Oh,
I never
mind.
Of course you get on well together. You just brought together for a good purpose.
You're always so used to me, Mickey. I wonder what about this. I haven't decided to go to Brighton,
I'll
decide to take that room or something or
other.
What about that? What
do you
admit to know,
huh? Don't you, darling? No. I think it was best thing that you'd meet.
No,
I don't want to. Of course, you've been over here by now, under the Davis,
physically.
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen any of your kids?
What?
No, him. George, your children.
What, Sharon?
Hmm.
Yes,
Ricky. We've got grandchildren,
yeah. Oh, yes, I see those very often, Ricky.
Yeah. Gave you a she thought she was king of the world. Oh. Those tuppence in those days was a lot.
I've never
done
all the
time
tonight, of course.
But it came your favourite uncle, I suppose.
No, particularly,
no. I got a relation, a cousin, who's got so much money, she doesn't know what to do with it. She's only herself. She's considered she runs about 300,000. She doesn't know what to do with it. But anyway, I don't know what to go do with it. And she's getting on in the air, she's very old.
Well, you're on the right side of her.
No, Mickey, I'm not
afraid.
I wouldn't have it.
Not
if she offered me.
Well, that's rather stupid, Eddie.
Well, what's the good of
me now, Mickey? Well, you could have it a good week. You could carry on the work, and when you pick out, if you come from Beckham, you could carry on.
I'm all the same. If you have a long
time,
it sort of makes a different person out of somewhere, I don't know.
Well, some people like the chance.
Yeah. I'll carry on after you've gone, Mickey. Best I
can. Oh, you must carry on.
I shall. Mm. I don't want anybody with me,
either. Well, you never know. You're missing me, you
know. I'd never find another person at school that I could work in such complete harmony with, you know?
I don't know. You never know. You might come first, don't you, Bill?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that can look fast.
Then what would you ought to do? Poor old church, I don't think running it down, must we?
I understand that you may like a study of this sort of thing.
Yes.
So I understand from various people who are here, they suggested that I might like to come and have a go at it.
Oh, good. Thank you very much.
I've been here, must be 63 years.
Yes.
It must be about 63 years. Better than more. Time, such a strange fact. I was familiar with Gordon Tellis many years ago.
Oh, yeah.
My name is Johnson.
Johnson?
Yes, I used to live in this terrace.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, me too.
Very interesting.
That's very interesting. Can you give us a talk, your friend?
Did you hear a young woman just come here?
Yeah.
I thought she might have tried to explode. It was a maid of ours.
Oh, yes.
We used to visit this house, as a matter of fact, my wife and I, and we going back a long time.
Who is with them?
It was in the community together now.
Thank you. Can you tell us, you know, how you thought to, how your reaction, what you thought about it all?
Right? I used to go to a church, you know, many years ago. Of course, his whole name was a little changed beyond recognition there.
Yes.
Doesn't seem at all the same. Gone down, I regret to say. Spirit of modern.
Yes. Miss Jones, did you tell us what it was like on your side? Is something about what you're doing there?
Mr. Johnson, can you tell us how you passed over and your reaction, if you could?
Oh, I caught a chill.
Yes.
And my health had begun to deteriorate for some time. My chest had been my leg. I caught a very bad chill, and I think that must as well have my memory served me as the cause of my death, not pneumonia.
Yes.
Oh, that's a long time ago. Miriam, if you like my wife, we used to be great admirers of her being had it. That is, two very great things of some of the theatrical luminaries of that time. I spent a great deal of my time and interest in each other among people that I used to know in the theatre, although of course I was in no way connected with other than the fact that both my wife and I are very much theatre girls. We met a lot of the great ones, and I met all of them this year. There's Fred, Terry, Julian Gilson, H.B. Irving, Irving himself, Aaron Terry, oh, so many of the great ones. I used to go regularly. Yes, I had my seats booked, performances. Used to go often, always to him as the first night. Those times are gone.
Mr. Johnson, what were your reactions when you passed over? I mean, were you bewildered or?
Not in the slightest.
What happened? How did
the fun go? Oh, I don't know. I don't think I ever had any very strong thoughts about death when I was on your side. I certainly had. I used to have. I used to go to church. I was religious from the point of view of attending church with me. I wouldn't go to say I was a good Christian, but I don't think that I was surprised. I realized that I was dead, if anything. I think it came as the most natural thing to me. I never seriously thought about death when I saw your son.
Well, how did you find yourself? In what kind of
surroundings? Oh, that doesn't seem to be very fully aware of anything that happened with me. I don't think I felt nervous, frightened, or near falling in the lake. I just took it in my stride. It all seemed very natural to me. I was met by my mother, who died many years previously, and my father, and my younger brother, too. Mm-hmm. Who died when I was old. And when I was thinking she was about 16.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go on. I was shown a village. And I didn't know that this village, to all appearances, was very much like the village that I'd known as a child. I used to visit an uncle of mine in the summer holidays. We used to go to this place and spend a week or two, a few weeks there. He was a very charming man, and seemed as if when I came here, that village, to all intents and purposes, was exactly the same as here. It must have been, well, of course, a little time when I came, it all seemed very real. But my relations were living in a house identical to the one that had on earth. I always remember this house where the boys used to go there on the holidays. We used to love it, the countryside, and the little brook, you know, there in the bottom of their garden. I remember how we used to go out in the punt. We used to have such happy times as children. And I was very surprised in a way, of course, to find that this place actually existed here. And in every detail, as far as my memory serves me, it was identical to the same as I'd known it in my childhood. Generally, they loved this house so much. My aunt and uncle, they loved this place so much that they, in some strange way, I don't know how this happens, but they put so much into this house and bring so much to them. They loved it so much that when they came here, they had an exact replica of it. They were extremely kind and very good people, very much thought about in the village, you know. And I met a lot of people when I first came, when I stayed here with my relation, whom I'd met as a boy. Of course, being young, I suppose, I didn't have very much to do with the older people. I knew them, of course, and they'd always asked about me in my schooling. But there they were here, as I'd known them as a boy. The only thing was, of course, they all seemed to be very much younger. And that was an extraordinary thing, really, that although they all looked so much younger, the house looked identically the same as I remembered it. But, of course, I realize now that age was purely a physical, material thing. And they had reverted back to the earlier years. And I recognized them. It was as if in some strange way, although they were younger, I could see them in two senses, as they were now and as they were when on earth. Hold on, it's the most extraordinary thing, this sensing that we have. It's a peculiar thing even to describe how we are conscious and aware of things and people and all sorts of incidents appertaining to ourselves and others. And yet, these things may be changed, and yet we're conscious of all the detail. It's as if sometimes we can live in. Well, it's almost as if we're living not only in the present, but also the past at the same time. Mm-hmm. And to some extent, an extension going into the future. How one can explain this, I can't really imagine, but it is so.
Mm-hmm. Go on,
Mr. Johnson,
very interesting.
Oh, I don't know. My father was a very strict man in his way. A good man. I remember when I was very young, which must have been, let me see, somewhere around about 1845, something like that. It must have been taken from my first cottage. I loved music. I was always drawn endlessly to music and the theatre. And I suppose if I'd had my way, I would have gone into it seriously. But we were very comfortably off, and, I suppose it wasn't the thing to do in that day, you know. I was a very good scholar, and I started up, I suppose you would hardly call it business, but I studied various things, I traveled a good deal, and I suppose looking back I might have done things rather differently. I had every opportunity in many of the states my father left. Quite a lot of money, we got inheritance. I haven't invented my own. I don't know why I'm talking about all this.
Mr. Johnson, when you were at this park, you were responsible. Well, what did you do then?
How
did you carry on with your life?
Oh, well, I realize now, of course, that this was only taken to the agenda for a short time to give me the opportunity to adjust myself. And I was very happy there, my wife and my son. Very happy, and then it was decided, of course, that it was time that we made change, and we moved, and there was another house that had been prepared for us, and this house was certainly the sort of house that I'd always liked. It was really based on the 18th century type of house, which I'd always admired, and not over big, but sufficient. But then again, you can't really expect to describe these things, because there are many things appertaining to a house here which in many ways are similar to those which are on earth. And of course, if a person has loved a house very much, quite often they find that they have the victor from it here. This house that I was prepared for us was a house that had been created, presumably, by architect of the 18th century, who, when he came here, continued to design and bring into being various properties or houses for people, not necessarily people he had known, but because he loved to design and create, he was able to gather around him a group of individuals who also had the same interest in houses and places were created, and these were allocated to people, certain people when they came over. And in some strange way, my design in desiring of a certain type of house was made apparent, presumably, and this house was presented to us for a time until we ourselves felt the need to adjust ourselves further in other directions. But we were very happy there, and it's only just recently that I've moved elsewhere. Well, this may surprise you, after living a very individual sort of life, I suppose. I'm not now in the house. I'm in, I suppose, what you would call, I don't know whether you would call it a school, yet in the kind of way it is a school. It's certainly a teaching profession, but, or at least I teach, that is, I instruct, and I'm teaching you, Carmen, certain facts of life as I've discovered them and found them here, helping them to adjust themselves, and temporarily, I don't suppose I shall be here indefinitely, but I shall stay for a considerable time, no doubt. I shall be here, and I shall teach and help and instruct new souls when they come over, and these are souls who have developed and evolved, possibly more than some, but who still need, obviously, new insight and new thought and instruction given to them concerning life here. My dear wife's also now teaching children. We both live together here, and she is teaching the young, because she's always been very fond of children, has been drawn to them considerably all her personal life, and it's a great blow when we lost our son. But now, of course, he is with us, and he also is a teacher. I think I'd always wanted to be a teacher, really. And looking back, I realized that on earth I might have done so much more with my life. I was very interested in education.
Could you describe your world? What is
like the
Well, I would say that in some respects, in many respects, it's less than the real. I suppose many people ask this question, but I suppose that many people assume that our world must be vastly different. Well, I don't know that it is so vastly different. We have great communities, of course. We have whole groups of souls who live together in units, and even individual nationals, you get this is not exactly country in the sense that you understand the term. I mean, there's no, at least I never experienced, there's no friction here as you do get between nationalities. Here nationalities do live and dwell together, but they also intermingle and intermix. Of course, there's no marriage here in the sense that you understand it, but there are people who live together and who are devoted to each other, and obviously, they are as married in a sense as people are organized in ceremony and the form. It's very difficult, really, because you see, whenever we want to say something, we have to try and picturize it in a material sense. But I suppose if you ask me, why you have asked me what our world is like, I would say that it was a replica of your world without any of its defects. There are great continents, there are vast plains, mountains, lakes, there are great areas that are devoted to life, devoted to peoples. There's a great animal kingdom which intermingles with the human kingdom. Then there's a greater understanding and a greater feeling for the animal kingdom. There's no fear. I suppose the answer to some of this problematic questioning that one must have from people on your side is the fact that one of the things that we have eradicated here, and certainly doesn't exist, is fear. And I think once you rid yourselves of fear, then people's, irrespective of their knowledge or lack of it, irrespective of whether they are evolved or not so evolved, once you eliminate fear and you have love and faith and trust, you have an entirely different society, and people do work together harmoniously. And the animals themselves, of course, no longer fear man, and therefore the animals can also and do mingle a great deal with man. But there is a greater development even among the animals, and actually, one of the most fantastic things that ever happened to me when I first came here was to hold a conversation. I suppose anybody can put this, it may sound bad. Hold a conversation with a pet dog. But I realized that this is not a conversation in the normal sense that you understand it, by the use of one's vocal organs and creating sound and words, etc. But this is a conversation between minds, between consciousness, awareness, transmission of thoughts, being able... See, another thing I learned very quickly, and that speech as such isn't necessary here. You can communicate entirely by the process of thought. It isn't necessary to use vocal organs and to speak, though many people do. I'm not suggesting they don't. I'm not suggesting that we don't speak to each other. I'm not suggesting that great singers don't sing and vibrate the atmosphere and create sound. Of course they do. But there is a form of communication which is highly advanced to the mental nature, so that it is quite often possible, in fact, often unnecessary, to enunciate words, create sound, to communicate entirely by the process of thought. That's why, of course, for instance, we can know exactly what the other person is feeling or thinking. There's another one of the things that rather at first disturbed me a little, I suppose, because I was unfamiliar with it, and also because in a sense it was rather odd and perhaps a little frightening in a sense at first, was the realization that people could tell exactly what you were thinking. And you soon began to realize that you could no longer say one thing and mean something else. In other words, you could never deceive, not that one particular wanted to deceive anyone, but I suppose one on earth, one became accustomed to avoiding issues sometimes, and sometimes not saying things that you were thinking deep down inside. So those things now, of course, are impossible. You no longer hide truth. Mm-hmm. You no longer hide your true self. Here you are revealed, as you really are. No longer can you put up the old facade, you see.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any shades?
You don't look quite confident, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you gone to see it all?
I haven't been, no, but I presume people do.
Yeah.
When you ask me how the great seas of consciousness, I say yes for that. But to all appearances, I would say yes, I have seen great seas. But then again, this is purely something which may apply to certain experiences of the desires that I've had on certain spheres that I've experienced. But it may well be there are other spheres where there are no such seas.
Mm-hmm. Of course, you could travel by thought too, can't you?
Yes, in a sense that's true. You can travel by thought. You can transport yourself. You see, again, our bodies become something built for us in our own environment. And not necessarily solid and built for us when we come to you. But our communication with you is built on the thought vibration.
Mm-hmm.
And we can transmit ourselves in a mental state to you.
Have you been in the higher plane before, in the higher
plane? I have had glimpses, but I wouldn't say that I make glimpses in a time frame.
Mm-hmm.
I believe you write books.
Well, we are trying to do that.
It should be very interesting because I understand you've had tremendous number of experiences with various souls from this side over a long period.
Mm-hmm.
You should have some very interesting material.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get all the evidence we can for this, the different things like this, as you described the things, okay, so we can get this knowledge.
It should be very interesting, of course, but I suppose there are many people in your world who are very prejudiced and not prepared to accept. Very difficult to prove, I suppose, to some. But then again, if people don't make the effort to find out something, whether it's to do with this subject, as you term it, this spiritualism, as you call it, or whether it's something else. It's the same old story. If you've got to go out of your way and exert yourself and give time and thought to it, it's so stupid to contain something of which you know nothing and have made no effort to discover or find out about it.
I understand you have proof of learning there. I wonder if you could describe some of those
schools
for you, is it possible?
Well, these schools of learning are so many and so varied. And any individual can study any particular subject or many subjects that he or she wishes. If we want to go back in time, and we want to study the history of man, you wish to go back, as it were, you can experience all that. You can go to classes here where there are masters or great teachers, or where the very process of that thought can transport you temporarily, as it were, back in time, so that you can actually witness and experience and enter into, if you wish, things that have happened centuries and centuries ago to man. Business, if you had a particular interest in a certain period, shall we say a Roman period or an Egyptian period, not only could you be transported back through the efforts of these great souls who have this wonderful power, by their assistance and help, you can be transported mentally and back temporarily so that you can actually witness these things. So you see, everything that has happened is still there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, people assume that what happened yesterday no longer exists.
Mm-hmm.
But of course it still exists, because what has ever happened in a mental state which has brought forth a material reaction. In other words, whatever has transpired or happened is registered, and it's only a matter of tuning in to a certain vibrational wavelength upon which you can re-enter, as it were. Mm-hmm. You see, people have this strange idea that time is now, but time is yesterday and time is tomorrow. Time, there is no beginning and there is no end. What has happened is still, in a sense, happening. It may not be, in a sense, from your point of view, visible or seeable, or we may not be conscious of it, but it's there. Here are all the different layers, vibrational layers all around the world. All sorts of things are manifested. All sorts of things are registered. It only needs a sensitivity and the art of knowing how to enter into and tune into different wavelengths, and you can see it all reenacted. In other words, all the things that have been major, vital importance, that have affected man, in a sense, I do not understand me on this, can still be understood and experienced. Man only learns through past experience.
Mm. If you understand, in time, you change the form.
Well, that may well be, but I haven't yet got to that stage of it. I don't particularly want to change my form. I don't know. I want that. What you mean, man? If you mean I might have four or five legs and two.
No, 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 no.
That's not quite what you mean, man.
I'm telling you, if you know, I am changed to light.
Well, I don't know about that. I can't sound particularly enamored with the idea.
No, no.
I'm afraid I don't know, but I feel I'd be very. I wouldn't feel too happy if I had to change myself, as I know myself and as I'm known by others, to others. Of course, one never knows, and they, well, I don't know, you may have heard from some souls who are more highly evolved than me.
How do you see yourself? Do you have glass out there so you can see yourself, or don't you?
No, one can see oneself mirrored, reflected. If one wishes, we have what you, I suppose, as near as you would say, glasses. Well, don't forget, we have substances, just as you have substances. We have many, many substances which are very necessary for the care which we use. Even those, for instance, who create, whether it's houses or whether it's clothes. There are artists, people design, people create, we have materials. Oh, there are many activities and many different forms of, I won't say business, but I don't want you to get the impression that we have business over here. Nothing is done for gain in that sense, and we don't have money, and we don't have shops in the sense as you understand the term. But there are all manner and conditions of life here, and all sorts of interests, and many people follow up trades, I suppose you call them, although in a way they're not trades here, because no one benefit from tyranny in the sense that you understand the expression on your side. But we love to create, we love to work with beautiful things. Artists create great pictures, they use what you call paint. But I'm talking about certain vibrations or conditions of life. I think there are much higher forms of which I've not yet reached, where these things are no longer necessary, where everything is purely and solely created and thought. I have a feeling that this seems, well, to me rather remote, and possibly I'm not ready for it. I wouldn't like to think that something just existed because I thought about it. I'd like to feel that there's some effort behind it. Mm. I suppose there is there, if one can understand it. But here, this is a world, to me, this is as real as yours, more so.
I understand you never get hungry there, do you?
Well, I certainly don't.
Yeah. Never want to eat anything?
No.
Yeah.
But I must go.
Goodbye.
God bless you. And perhaps sometime I may have the pleasure of coming again. Goodbye.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. It's my interest.